Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Tyler Cook and Craig Konstantinovich. And today we are going to get into charitable giving via donor-advised funds. This is way over my head, so I'm literally going to be reading from my outline to ask these questions for people to help understand what these are. So I want to explain what they are. Let's give the acronym as well, because I know a lot of times we fall into that. So what is it? What is it? What is it for?
Yeah, a donor advised fund, you'll hear the acronym DAF or DAF is common these days. It's a technique that allows somebody to put a large amount of money into this account to get a present day tax deduction, and then allow many years or months or however long they want to take to actually dole that money out to different charities. But essentially somebody makes an irrevocable gift to the fund. Mm-hmm. So the money is pledged for charity. They can't get it back out. So what have they put into that account has to be used for different charities. And then from there, they can benefit on the tax side as well if the strategy makes sense. And this is where looping in a CPA is critical. So having a certified accountant on the team is critical, or some tax professional that can guide that. But our job is when we look at these things is to really think about the creative side of it from the tax planning concept and work with the expert. But first and foremost, you've got somebody who really wants to help charities. This is a great tool to help benefit their tax planning at the same time.
So it's an interest earning account.
Can be. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
It's just a pot of money
mm-hmm.
that is committed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to pick whatever charity you want from year to year. Right.
As long as it's a qualified 501c3, which is tax lingo for a qualified charity. Yep.
Okay. And I should have started out by saying we're not certified public accountants, but you guys know a lot about this. So let's move forward here.
So I'll jump in too on the donor advice side too. Just the idea is a lot of strategies we'll look at is somebody might have appreciated securities. Think like stocks. Mm-hmm. They've got some old stocks or maybe a play account that they've had done really well in. Somebody can gift the shares of that investment of the stock to the donor advised fund, and they get the tax deduction that'll show up on their tax return, assuming they were itemizing, would be the fair market value of that stock on the day they give it. The key there is when you do it that way, the person giving the money doesn't have to pay capital gains tax, because a lot of times people will sell stock and gift cash to charities, which that works too. You're still accomplishing your goal of helping the charity, but is it really the most tax advantage way to do it? Probably not. So the donor advised gives you another tool to use that tax side of things and really still help the charity, but then on your personal tax planning, get larger deductions in one given year. So we'll see it a lot of times too in the sale of a business
right.
or bigger, higher income years. People want to offset that tax bill that comes with it and at the same time help the charity. So the donor advised fund's a great tool.
Is this predominantly for the ultra wealthy, or is this—
Not necessarily.
You know, how can regular folks relate to this?
Yeah, as Tyler mentioned, it's any instance where you have maybe more money than is normal, so to speak. You know, as we said, you've got to talk with your accountant to figure out when this does or doesn't make sense. But really what it comes down to is, like, let's say you had a really good year at work and you're a commission-based person, and now you've got an extra $100,000 worth of income that you weren't otherwise expecting. To Tyler's point, it all starts out with you've got to be charitably inclined from the beginning. This isn't something that you should just willy-nilly jump into because, hey, I want to cut down on taxes.
Because you can't take it out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to charity.
It's going to charity one way or another. Living, after death, doesn't matter. It's going directly to charity. No question about it. It's just how quickly do you want to give it to charity?
Mm-hmm.
So like Tyler mentioned, let's say someone sells their business or has that big commission year, like I was mentioning, and they've got $100,000, but they typically only gift $5,000 per year to charity. Nothing to scoff at. Hey, that's a very generous way to go about your giving, about your lifestyle. But to Tyler's point, it's a tax planning strategy. So if now all of a sudden you've got $100,000 of income greater than what you anticipate, and let's say every other year cash flow is kind of tight when you gift that $5,000, well, if you put it into this fund now, you can have that money available and you could take $5,000 out every single year for the next 20 years. So now instead of gifting from your cash flow, maybe you can take that money and reinvest it elsewhere. So it allows you to leverage your cash flow to go towards other goals while still accomplishing what it is that you want to give to charity.
Does it make sense for somebody who's over 70 or in retirement age?
Can.
It just depends. That one depends. We'll get, there's another strategy we'll talk about in a minute for people in their 70s and beyond, but on the donor advice piece too, the idea there is once it's in the account, you can leave it in cash, you can put it in a stable value type option, or you could invest it too for the longer piece. To your point, Craig, if you want to invest it or dole out to charities over maybe a 10 or 15 year period, there might be an opportunity to actually invest it within the account, because the nice part about that is when it's growing in that donor advised fund, mm-hmm. it's all tax-free. So not only did you get a tax deduction when you put it in, you've now invested it, it's growing tax-free, and it goes tax-free to the charity as well. So there's a kind of a triple tax advantage play there.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So I'm reading about DAFs and QCDs.
Yep.
Let's tell people what those are and which strategy is the best.
I'll help you. The DAF was what we just hit on.
Yep.
That's the donor advice. Don't worry, we got you.
That's what Tyler started with.
Okay. Hey, I warned you ahead of this one.
All
my,
good.
My brain is, I hear you going, wah, 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 wah.
Well,
I'm trying my level best.
The accountants that are out there are listening to this and they're salivating. They're like, this is the good stuff right here.
Okay.
But QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution.
Okay.
So what that ties into, or how that comes into play, it's similar to a donor advised fund, but different. It's similar because it's meant to help out charity. It is a tax maneuver, but it's different in the instance of how it's actually implemented. So the donor advised fund that Tyler was talking about, or that we've been chatting here about, you put money in. It's usually after tax money. So like I said, commission, stock, whatever the case may be, or a highly appreciated security, I should say, goes into that account. With the qualified charitable distribution, this is more so tied to distributions that you're required to take from your IRA, your 401k, those kind of things.
That I get.
So basically, it's another way to gift to charity and get a tax incentive for doing so, mm-hmm. but it's just different vehicles that you can use in order to accomplish that.
And that one, I would imagine you have to make sure that you have enough to retire before you.
Of course,
right.
And with both of these, really.
Yeah.
Anytime you're doing that. But the QCD is relatively new in the bigger mm-hmm. tax picture. It's been around for several years now. But the idea is once you hit age, currently it's 73. Once you hit 73, IRS says, all right, it's time to start taking money out of that IRA you've had all these years, or your mm-hmm. old 401k, for example. And they're going to calculate a minimum distribution amount, the RMD, required minimum distribution. The QCD allows you to actually take a portion of that and send it directly to charity. So let's just use an example here, right? Your required minimum distribution that the IRS says you have to take is $100,000. If you donate $20,000 directly from the IRA to the charity, mm-hmm. that $20,000 never hits your tax return in the form of income. Only $80,000 will show up as income. And that, to Craig's point too earlier, that's the tax part of it, because it has kind of a domino effect through tax planning. And it goes down to whether or not you're going to, you know, take the standard or itemize. And we can get it in the weeds for it. But the idea there is the QCD allows for flexibility for people to still accomplish their charitable goals, just like a donor advised fund.
Mm-hmm.
But you're using it in the form of accomplishing your RMD as well to make sure you've satisfied what the IRS says you have to take out of the IRA.
So the timing is really important.
Timing's important from a standpoint of that qualified charitable distribution. It's best leveraged when you have to take that money out.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it theoretically ahead of time, but you're not going to get the same bang for your buck, so to speak, because you want it to help offset what you're required to take out while still accomplishing your charitable goals.
Timing your gifts for maximum tax impact, and you're getting into that already, but is there a best time of the year to make charitable donations through either of these tools?
Review with your accountant.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're looking at gifting. Like if you're at the point where you're required to take money out, how do you take it out? Some people decide, hey, I'm going to take it out a 12th every single month. That way it's done by the end of the year. I avoid any penalties for not having it completed. So I'm going to divvy up my amount by 12, and hey, that's going to come to me monthly. Other people say, hey, I want it all in one single month, maybe at the beginning of the year, maybe at the end of the year. Doesn't matter. You have to figure out what works for you or what your goals are. But if you're looking at utilizing that qualified charitable distribution, you should probably plan on taking it in a similar manner to how you're taking the rest of your required distribution.
Yeah, when the QCD, the qualified charitable distribution thing, first came out, it was a change in timing for a lot of people mm-hmm. when they're giving, because a lot of people would just do it weekly or monthly. And then depending upon the amount of the distribution that was required, sometimes it made sense just to do the lump sum up front and get it done. And I always joke and would tell people, like, you know, the charity's never going to be mad that they got a bigger amount up front, right? You just got to and just communicate with them too, because sometimes internal treasury departments at charities plan things around certain cash flow. And if you're going to change your timing of your giving, it's a good idea to give them a heads up. But
right.
Again, no charity is going to be mad getting the lump sum format from people's IRAs.
Right.
And then the donor advised fund funding that, that really comes down to what you're going to contribute towards it. You know, we mentioned a sale of a business. Well, you can't really plan that out until the business sale is done. So you have to wait until that's actually gone through and processed. For gifting highly appreciated securities or, you know, whatever other means you may be looking at, it really depends on when do you think that investment may have reached its peak? When is it going to be at its high? So that way you could possibly maximize your gift or, like we talked about, potentially minimize the tax implications of getting the money in there.
And all these strategies too, they're based on the calendar year deadline. So
right.
It's kind of reset every year as well. So certainly that required minimum distribution, once you're past age 73, that's an annual thing for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The donor advised fund is more the bigger events, kind of one-time things that happen that you would use to do that. And question we get all the time is, can you do a QCD, qualified charitable distribution from an IRA, and fund your donor advised fund with that? Unfortunately, the answer is no, you can't. You can't do that.
When you lock into this, can you do it once, or are you doing it? Are you locking into every year doing it?
No, you have a choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it resets every year.
If you only want to do it one time, you can only afford to do it one time. You do it once.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like in conversations, there's been instances where people have said, I've got this individual stock and it has done absolutely fantastic. I bought it for $10 a share. It's now up to $1,000 per share. I'm going to gift that to the donor advised fund. All right. You do that. Now all of a sudden, I may not have any more of that stock, so I can't repeat that gift. Right. So you're just doing it one time.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the qualified charitable distribution. I could choose to do $5,000 one year, and I could choose to do $2,000 the next year. You could do them together. You can do them separate. But the only obligation is for the donor advised fund. Once you put the money in, it must go to charity. Outside of that, no other restrictions.
How do people build this into their estate planning? And sort of a legacy. Is it possible to do that?
Yeah, with donor advised funds, you can name successor owners and even charities if you pass. So that's kind of through basically like a beneficiary designation on where the money would go. But then, you know, while you're alive or while your spouse is alive, if that's the case, you can manage it. And then you can set up you can actually set up another family member to manage it when you're gone, or you can have it just go all to a certain charity when you pass.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've never heard of those before. That's interesting. Any takeaways before we close?
I think the key is you have to be charitably inclined. As Craig said, I can't stress that enough. It's not, you don't do this just for the tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing I hear people, I want to buy a house because I get a tax deduction. No.
No.
What's the goal? If you're charitably inclined, it's a great tool to use. But again, maybe giving cash is just as good for your plan too. So it really comes down to the specifics, and reviewing it with the CPA is the key.
Right. Yeah. Reviewing it with the CPA, making sure you know what charities you want to give to or are adamant about. And also, it's a nice way too, to your point about legacy planning, it's a good way for people to introduce their kids to what kind of charitable giving they want. Maybe they want to instill that mindset of, as you do good, give back. And this is a great way to kind of broach that conversation and remove some of the misnomers around talking about finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, children, here, we're putting money into this account. We also are giving to charity, but we're going to list you as the successors, and we want you to pick a charitable cause that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So it can create a lot more familial giving conversations that otherwise may not have been had.
Mm-hmm. Great idea. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again, and don't forget to hit the share button.
Media, think big.